to show us the way in which we should go. And we just give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Just want you to say this. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it one more time. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, isn't that an awesome name? Hallelujah. Amen. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of good things that are happening in May. Of course, for the ladies, there is a ladies' tea, our fifth annual ladies' tea on Saturday, May 21st at 10 a.m. And there is tickets for that event. And you can purchase tickets in our bookstore. Tickets are $12. And it's going to be a great time. You got ladies get to eat on fine china, get to be served by handsome, strong men. And it'll be a great time. There's always great surprises. So if you can come, ladies, I encourage you to come. Saturday the 14th, we have our marriage fellowship. I think that's right, on the 14th at 6 p.m. So for all the married couples, you can come and fellowship together. We're also going to have a work day. Anybody that would like to just volunteer a couple of hours, we're going to have work earlier on the 14th. And we're just going to do some work outside or work inside, depending on the weather. And so if you can come, I'll feed you. And we're just going to do some work for a couple hours. And then on May 15th, we're going to have Terry Tripp. He's going to be with us on Sunday morning. If you've ever heard of the Tripp family, they're our singing family out of Nashville, and he sings and he preaches. He was with us a couple years ago and just did a fantastic job, so it's going to be a real treat. So you want to come on Sunday the 15th. And then on the 22nd, we're going to have an ambassador to the UN. He is a pastor from Jamaica who's a non-governmental ambassador to the UN. His name is Philip Finn, and he's going to be with us. I got to meet him, and he's pretty cool. He considers himself God's voice in the den of devils. So he gets to pray with heads of state, presidents, prime ministers. So it'll be interesting to hear from him. Is there anything else? Yeah, our singles, we're going to meet on the third Sunday, since the second Sunday is Mother's Day. So if your mother never had any kids, you probably won't either. But I'm excited about tonight, all right? And so if you're visiting with us, we want to say welcome to you. It's good to have you here at Victory Christian Fellowship. And if you have your tithes and offerings, you can give that anytime during the service in our seed container. There are envelopes in the back there. It's that wooden container. If you make a checkout, you can make it out to VCF. And for those of you that haven't heard, we've paid off our mortgage on our building. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God is good. And if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to go to the Gospel of John. And I'm going to talk about the greatest thing that we have the privilege of as Christians. All right? It is the solution to every problem. It is, it requires your faith. And you're thinking, what is it? Well, I want to talk to you about the authority of the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't emphasize the weight that name carries, but every believer who believes in Christ has the delegated authority and the privilege to use the name of Jesus. So we're going to talk about how we can use the name of Jesus. So I just call this the authority of the name of Jesus. And in John chapter 14, we're going to begin with verse 9. And You know, Philip had asked Jesus to show us the Father. And Jesus' response to him was, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? Believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Do you believe that Jesus is in the Father? Do you believe that the Father is in him? Amen? He is God's Son, all right? He is the only Savior of the world. You cannot get to the Father any other way but through Jesus Christ, okay? And then he said, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." You ever get a hamburger with the works? That includes everything, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen. Well, the name of Jesus, Jesus gives us access to everything that is in that God wants us to have. And he says, verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Now, here's where it gets interesting. Verily, verily, when he used this word, you could also say truly, truly. When Jesus enunciated something twice, that meant it was for sure, it was absolute, it is going to happen. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall he do also." How many believe that you can do what Jesus did? All right? Absolutely. You can. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." Now, here's the key. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name." Everybody say, "In my name." See, there's something about the name of Jesus. It gives us access to everything in heaven. It gives us access to all the power of God. The name of Jesus is the key that unlocks all that God wants us to have. He said, "If you ask anything in my name, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." So isn't it interesting that whenever you ask in his name, he is going to back up his name by doing it. All right? But the key is to ask in his name. And we're going to get into that. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14. "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." All right? Now, we're going to find out that there's, you know, you can't just ask. And it has to be according to his will. And it has to be, you have to have faith in the name of Jesus in order for you to ask anything in his name for it to be done. Okay? So let me just go over some things that occurred in his name. Okay? Go with me to Acts chapter 2. We just want to look at some things that were done in his name. All right? Is his name still good today? Will he, is, you know, God, He told us in Proverbs, it's better to have a good name than riches. And God has a good name. And you, every believer in Christ, can use the name of Jesus, and you'll have the same power, the same results, the same grace, the same everything, because Jesus is the same. Amen? And he's given us authority to use his name. And it's important for us to use his name. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This was on after the day of Pentecost. "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." When he says be baptized in the name, his name represents his authority. And so we are doing it under his authority, but we're doing it in his name. We are his body. We are his ambassadors on the earth. Did you know that you're an ambassador? You're an ambassador of reconciliation. And as an ambassador, you are to live here on his standards. Think about that. As an ambassador, you're here to enter into agreements that will benefit and increase the kingdom. So, people were baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So can you see that all good things are coming from the name of Jesus? He was the picture of God's love. Go with me to Acts chapter 3. And look at verse 6. The man at the gate, beautiful. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, notice Peter had it. He had the authority to use it, and he used it. He said, I have such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So the name of Jesus released healing and wholeness to this person who was lame. So the name of Jesus is greater than any disease, any sickness, any infirmity. Okay? All right? Let's go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. There was no doubt in Peter's mind by what authority this miracle occurred. It occurred by using the name of Jesus. Notice, he didn't say, in the name of Peter, I command you to rise and walk. If he'd have did that, that man would have still been sitting there. But see, there's something about the name of Jesus. You could go into a place, and you could say, Muhammad. You might get some eyebrows, you know, raised at you. You could say Buddha, but it doesn't really do much. But when you say the name of Jesus, you get a reaction out of people. If the name of Jesus wasn't so powerful, why does our education system fight so much of people using the name of Jesus? There must be something about that name. There is authority in the name of Jesus. All right? Go with me to Acts chapter 8. You know, the name of Jesus brought such a reaction when this guy got healed that they actually commanded them not to use that name. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Notice this. This is when Philip preached in Samaria. But when they believed, But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So the preaching about Jesus brought about faith for people to believe and receive salvation. And, you know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is his title. He is the Messiah. The anointed one, the one he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So it's Jesus the Christ. Christ is not his last name. But there is authority and power in the name of Jesus. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. So we see that the name of Jesus was used in sickness. The name of Jesus was used for baptism. The name of Jesus is also used to overcome evil spirits. If you want to send the devil running, all you got to say is Jesus. Acts chapter 16 and verse 17. And talking about the woman that followed Paul, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that same hour. You know, when Paul said, "I command you to come out in the name of Jesus," that spirit could not stick around. He had to do what was told him in the name of Jesus, because there's authority in the name of Jesus. All right? Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Just giving you some things, and then we're going to talk about how to use this for us. And Philippians chapter 2, let's go to verse 6. Well, let's go to verse 5. This is important. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Do you have the mind of Christ? Can you think like he thinks? Some of you are thinking, "Well, I'm not sure." What did that say? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Is he talking about a different mind? Or is he talking about the same mind that was in Christ? He said, "Let this mind be in you." How are you going to let it be in you? You got to choose to see yourself in Christ. In Christ, you are whole. In Christ, you are complete. In Christ, you live and move and have your being. In Christ, you are a child of God. In Christ, you are no longer a sinner, but you have the nature of God on the inside of you. In Christ, you are strong. In Christ, you have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. In Christ, you have peace that passes understanding. In Christ, nothing is impossible to you. See, now, if you're going to use the name of Jesus effectively, you've got to see yourself as Christ saw himself. Let this mind... Did Jesus ever wake up with a bad day? Did he ever have a bad hair day? He never got frustrated. He never got frazzled. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew what he came to do. And he did it completely, and now you and I are to carry on what he started. We are here to do the will of God on this earth. We are agents and ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, and we are here to represent Jesus to others. And the devil has no right to mess with you. Matter of fact, you have a right to mess with him. You have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. You ever picture yourself walking on snakes and scorpions? But those are just representative of the kingdom of darkness, because they're full of venom, just like Satan is full of lies and deceit. Let this mind, say this with me, say, "The mind of Christ is in me. I'm going to let the mind of Christ operate in me. As of today, I change the way I think about myself, the way I talk about myself, and the way I act." Amen? That means from this day forth, fear shouldn't be an issue, because you don't have the spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Who were the Philippians? They were a church in Philippi. Are you a church? Is this letter written to a church? So you could say that this letter is written to you, right? And he's telling you, let this mind be in you. You can either let it or not let it. It's up to you. All right. Now, how did Jesus think? He goes on in verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was God. Okay? He made himself of no reputation. Your reputation ought to be Christ's reputation. You shouldn't rest on your laurels. He took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, what do you have to do? You have to serve. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now here's where we get into his name. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Say this, say the name of Jesus is above every name. Is cancer a name? Then Jesus is above it. That means that Jesus can take authority over cancer. Is poverty a name? That means Jesus has authority over poverty. And he can turn poverty into prosperity. Let me ask you this question. Do slaves earn good wages? While Israel spent 400 years serving Egypt, they didn't get paid, although they had food and whatever. Apparently they had lentils. They had leeks and whatever. But there came a point in time when their wages needed to get squared with them, right? And when they were about to exit Egypt, God turned a bunch of slaves into wealthy people by simply asking their owners, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? And God turned the wealth from Egypt into Israel overnight. How do you think they built the tabernacle in the wilderness? Where do you think they got that stuff? Huh? So the name of Jesus is above every name. You can name every sickness. Jesus is above every sickness. Every name that is named. You know, that person that rubs you the wrong way, do they have a name? Yes, Jesus is above them. That means that you can take authority in the name of Jesus over the situation. You have to understand that as a representative of the kingdom of God, you have access to use this very name that is above every name. And by using that name, you get the same results as Jesus got when he walked this earth. You could speak to a fig tree and it not live. You can speak to dead people and cause them to rise. But here's the thing, we're going to get into this more. You've got to believe that you have that authority. You've got to act like you have that authority. You've got to speak like you have that authority. Because guess what? You do. Why aren't we seeing the results? Because you don't believe that you have the authority. You know, a lot of people just try the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not anything that you try. It's something that you believe and do. Okay? All right, so God gave him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That word things is also translated beings. You have authority in the name of Jesus of beings in heaven, beings on earth, and beings under the earth. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You have authority in the name of Jesus over all of them. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, things in earth or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All right? So can you see some of the different uses of his name? Okay? You know, even in Mark chapter 16, he says, in my name, you will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In my name, you will drive out demons. Do you see yourself as a demon buster? Who are you going to call? Demon buster. God has, in a sense, he has made you a deputy. You have been deputized. You have been authorized. And the way that you do it is you use the name of Jesus. It is in Christ. It is under his authority. But you have, under the authority of Christ, you have access to everything. All the power of God is yours at the name of Jesus. It is the greatest thing that we could do. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Amen. Kendra likes that. See, if anything from tonight, I want you to see yourself differently. So when things aren't going right in the home, you can take authority in the name of Jesus to change it. When the enemy has blocked your supply line, you have authority in the name of Jesus to have him open that up. How do you do that? You say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. I command you to get your hands off of my stuff. You cannot steal. You cannot kill. You cannot destroy in Jesus' name. And guess what? He has got to obey you. Because Jesus' name is greater. Romans chapter 3. And let's go down to verse 22. This is a key to effectively use the name of Jesus. You know, when you use the name of Jesus, you should not do it flippantly or jokingly. Don't use the name of Jesus unless you really mean what you say. It is, you've got to give reverence and respect to the name of Jesus, because it unleashes the power of God. Okay? And in Romans chapter 3, verse 22, he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. So if righteousness comes from God through Jesus Christ to all who believe. So the key to use the name of Jesus effectively is to believe who you are in Christ, what you've been given, and what he's called you to do. You must believe. In other words, it has got to be in your heart. It has got to be a part of you. It can't just be in your head. You can't just use the name of Jesus because you heard someone else use it. It's got to be real to you. He's got to be real to you. You've got to have a vibrant, active relationship with Him in order for you to use the name of Jesus. When you believe something, you grip it with your whole being. When you believe something, you know that it cannot go any other way. You're willing to stake your life on it. So, I'm going to read this again. Even the righteousness of God, is righteousness a benefit and something good from God? Okay. It comes to us by faith of Jesus Christ. When you put your faith, when you put your trust, when you rest on Jesus Christ, you receive righteousness. Whether it's righteousness, whether it's healing, whether it's joy, whether it's help, whatever you need from God, it comes to you the same way. You have to have faith in Jesus in order for it to come to you, okay? In other words, Jesus is the rock upon which your faith is rooted. He is the rock, He is the chief cornerstone, He's the firm foundation, okay? So to use the name of Jesus effectively, and he goes on to say in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we've all sinned, but in Jesus Christ, it's as if we never sinned. When you come to Jesus, He wipes away the sin. He takes away the sin nature. He even says, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. You don't have to let sin reign in you once you come in Christ. Why? Is sin a name? Then Christ has authority over sin because His name is above the name of sin. So therefore, something above can change something that's beneath. Now, the name of Jesus gives us ultimate access to everything God has given us. Jesus is the key. He even said, I'm the door of the sheep, right? He is the entrance way. He told His disciples, if you want to see the Father, you got to go through Me. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. All right? So, faith is required for you to effectively use the name of Jesus. Where does faith come from? Hearing what? So, if you're trying to use the name of Jesus apart from the Word, it's not going to be effective. In order for you to effectively use the name of Jesus, you got to go to what God said so that faith can come, and then when faith comes, then you can use the name of Jesus and power will result. Is that right? You know what Jesus said in John chapter 1? He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So you could say that Jesus is the Word, couldn't you? Absolutely. Okay? You must believe in order to declare. If you encounter someone that is possessed with the devil, I was a young Christian. I was 12 years old when I got saved. And I encountered two people who were demon-possessed. One day, my sister, her friend, and I, we were outside of the church, and we were talking, and we were talking to this guy. And all of a sudden, this guy just started to shake uncontrollably. And so for a few minutes, we were saying the name of Jesus, we were speaking the name of Jesus over, and within minutes, I don't know how long it was, but within minutes, a peace had come over that man. His countenance had changed, and the shaking stopped, and you could see a difference on his face. What on his face was dark before, but now there was almost like a glow. See, because the name of Jesus is powerful. When you encounter a demon, and you know what? Demons are real. But the name of Jesus is greater than any demon. And so, I was 12 years old, and I cast out devils. It has nothing to do with age, but it has everything to do with faith. The question is, do you believe? Do you have faith in the name of Jesus? You must believe to declare. Believing releases the power of God. All right? Let's say that you're struggling in the realm of finances. You know what? Finances hits home, doesn't it? You mess with my money, you're messing with me. Right? And so, if you want to change your financial situation, you've got to do it in faith. If you're not going to the Word to find out what God says about finances, about provision, about supplying your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, if you're not fully convinced that God can do it for you, then to say it, you're not going to get the results. See, you must get to the place where you're fully convinced that God's word is true so that when you say it, there's power released. It's not, too many people just say, well, I'll try this, or I'll try that, or I'll try this. It has nothing to do with trying. Faith is a lifestyle. When Jesus needed to pay his taxes and he didn't have money on him, was he worried? No. He simply told to Peter, he said, you know, go cast your line in the water and the first fish you catch is going to have a coin in its mouth for you and me. Pay our taxes. When 5,000 plus people showed up for dinner, was Jesus worried? No. He said, what do we have? Okay, we have a little boy's lunch. All right? That little boy had more faith in the Lord than a lot of Christians do. Because number one, that little boy gave his lunch up. Rare for little boys. And then supernaturally, the disciples and that little boy watched how that little lunch was multiplied and it fed thousands. Let this mind be in you that was in who? So can you see yourself with the ability to feed thousands of people without having to go to Walmart or Sam's for buying in bulk? I mean, this was an emergency. They were following Jesus for days, and it was long, and there wasn't a Sam's where they were. But you know what? They had faith in the name of Jesus. So you must believe to declare. Believing releases the power of God. It is the work of Christ, his life, his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection that gives you the power to command. Listen, you have the authority of the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Why, then, do we approach things in such a timid way? I'm talking to myself, you know? I don't know about you, but I limit myself too much by my stinking small thinking. And the Lord's been kind of working me over on my mind. Every believer in Christ can use the name of Jesus as a basis for authority to demand your rightful inheritance in Christ. Let me ask you a question. If you found out that Uncle Doug put your name in his will, and Uncle Doug died, and he left you a 5,000 square foot house, 3 cars, a boat, and a cat and a dog. And you found out that you were in the will. And you went to the reading of the will to find out that your name was listed and these things now legally belong to you. Would you have any doubt or fear of claiming those things? Then why do we doubt in claiming our inheritance with God? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then guess what? You are a joint heir with Christ. There has been a legal transaction that has taken place. Jesus has died, and he left a will. He left an old one and an updated one called the new one, the New Testament. And the New Testament includes everything in the old, but more. And you've been given a legal right to claim what is yours. All you got to do is use the name of Jesus. So why do we approach things in life that we need when he says, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. Don't I take care of the birds? I was watching a robin the other day. I was sitting on my porch, and this robin has a nest by my porch. I left a wreath up there, and the robin built a nest in my wreath. And this robin, he kept getting things in his mouth, bringing it to the nest, getting things. He did that several times. You know what? That robin was eating good. And you know what? You are more important than a robin. If God can take care of the robin, he can take care of you. Question is, do you believe it to use the name of Jesus to say, Lord, I thank you for providing for me? You see the authority that we have in the name of Jesus? It is the basis of authority that you demand your rightful inheritance. You have an inheritance. You're an heir. You're a joint heir with Christ. Everything that was for Christ is for us. And it comes to us through his name. Is this good? I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this. Did you know that angels and demons are subject to the name of Jesus? They surrender to that name because Jesus is superior. Now the problem is, when we have wrong thinking, did you know that when you're thinking about things wrong, your believing is going to be wrong? And if your believing is wrong about something, then your speaking is going to be wrong. And guess what? You're not going to get the results until you correct your thinking, which will correct your believing, which will correct your speaking. If there's something out of line in your thinking, believing, or speaking, and you go to use the name of Jesus, it's not going to work. Until you change, you know, God gave us a way that we can embrace what has been given to us. It's called renewing your mind. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've got to change the way you think about things. I was talking to a gentleman this week who interviewed business owners in Campbelltown. And from interviewing these business owners, the business owners had a poverty mentality. Now, if you have a poverty mentality and you own a business, you're going to struggle in business. You know, Abraham was a business owner. He dealt in sheep and cattle, wool. And the Bible said in Genesis 13 that he was very rich. Everybody say very rich. Did you know that he was very rich and he was very much in love with God? Did you know that you can be very rich and then very in love with God? Solomon, silver was in such abundance in Solomon's day that he made it into wallpaper. He put silver on the walls in the temple. I was reading today about Solomon. He would get 50,000 pounds of gold a year. 666 talents. It translates into 50,000 pounds. And you're talking about, in today's prices, $1,200 an ounce. 16 ounces in a pound. 50,000 pounds. I challenge you. Can you see yourself like Esther? Can you see yourself like Solomon? Can you get a picture of having what God wants you to have? In order for the name of Jesus to produce results for you, you got to have faith in his name. I can't say that enough. So before you use his name, what must you do? You have to get faith, and you get it from hearing the word. Study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So have you taken the time to study what God says about your situation? When you get God's perspective on what you're going through, what you're dealing with, the challenges that you face, what does God say about your challenge? Find out what God says and then say what he said in Jesus' name, and that's when you're going to get the results. You see that? In Jesus' name, you can resist anything that is not of God from working in you, coming on you, controlling you, overtaking you, and dominating you. Let me say that again. In Jesus' name, you can resist anything that is not of God from working in you, coming on you, controlling you, overtaking you, and dominating you. Did Jesus have control over circumstances? Did he walk on water? Did he calm a storm? Did he make a tree stop growing? Did he make a dead man rise? He had control over his circumstances. Could they take his life when he wasn't ready to give it? No. He could multiply things. He could take a little bit and make it a lot. He had the ability to multiply. Oh, hallelujah. We've got the ability to multiply things. We have the ability in the name of Jesus. Now, don't get cocky. It's not in you. It's not about your education. It's not about your position. It's not about your family name. It's not about how many. It's about the name of Jesus. It's about your faith in his name. A Christian is Christ-like because Christ is living in you and you have authority in his name. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say this, say, I have Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing living in me. Oh, hallelujah. You ought to say that a lot of times during the day. You ought to get up and say, I have the anointed one living on the inside of me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Devil, you can't touch this. You have to have the God kind of faith before you use your God-given authority and produce God-like results. Mark 11, 24, have faith in who? God. He told the Corinthians to have faith in the power of God. I don't come to you with eloquent words of man's wisdom, but I come at you with the demonstration and the power of God so that your faith may stand in the power of God, not in me. You know why using the name of Jesus is so important? Because the more you have been with Christ, the longer you have been with Christ, the more you ought to use the name of Jesus for yourself. The less you ought to... I mean, every believer... how many whosoevers do we have in here? Whosoever believes in me shall have everlasting life. So as you grow in the Lord, you ought to be using the name of Jesus more for yourself. You can resist the devil in the name of Jesus. One of the most powerful prayers is in Matthew 18, the prayer of agreement. If any two, it says, if two of you on earth agree as any about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For when two or three are come together in my name, there am I. So in order to agree with his name, you got to agree with his word. His word and his name are synonymous. Right? But it gives you the ability to declare and decree a thing. Okay? All right, I'm almost done. You ready for the home stretch? You know when Jesus turned water into wine? Mary said something interesting before that miracle occurred. She told the servants, whatever he says, do it. If God has told you something and you're not doing it, then when you go to use the name of Jesus, you're not going to have the authority. If you're disobedient, and I'm not talking making a mistake or missing it, all right? I'm talking about you're practicing disobedience. God's been telling you something and you haven't, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I'm not led. And God's telling you to do something. I don't want to. Okay. But when you have that attitude, like you don't want to do what he says, and you go to use the name of Jesus, guess what? It's not going to work. Can't. You got to live for him. You got to be in a relationship with him. All right? I'm not talking about missing it. I mean, we all miss it. We all make mistakes, okay? I'm talking about practicing a lifestyle of rebellion and disobedience. When God tells you to change something in your life and he tells you you need to change this and you don't, well, then you are limiting yourself. You are. When you go to use the name of Jesus, it's not going to work for you. Can't. Okay, let me finish up here. You have to understand the authority that you have as a believer in Christ to use the name of Jesus. It'll defend you. It'll protect you. It'll release God's goodness to you. It'll bring about things. It'll enforce Satan's defeat. I want to enforce Satan's defeat. Isn't that what Jesus did? He'd walk into the temple and the demons would say, I know who you are. You've come to torment us. And he'd say, hold your peace. They'd be like, okay. You didn't hear another word out of the devil. You have that same authority. Now, don't try to use your authority over people. Use it over the spirits that are influencing the people. You know, Paul. You know, when Paul dealt with that devil, that woman with the divination spirit, he spoke directly to the spirit, didn't he? Not to her. Don't go to your workplace. You know, I'm just going to, I take authority over you less in Jesus' name. No, you don't do that. That's a misuse. Because your authority is over spirits, not over people. So you got to know that you have authority in the name of Jesus. You've got to believe in the power of that authority that you have. When you believe in the power, that means you're going to have confidence. You're not going to be going, woe is me. You're going to have confidence. To believe is to have confidence. You need to exercise the authority through speaking his name, in his name. I mean, when we couldn't afford a vet and we had a dog in Tennessee, I would just pray over the dog. I mean, we couldn't afford a vet, so I would lay my hands on the dog and I'd speak healing. And that dog lived. The name of Jesus breaks and stops the power of the enemy. He can't do anything about that name. It's forever settled in heaven. When Jesus left this earth, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. So why does the devil get to run around? Listen, if you encounter the devil, he can't run around you because you have authority in the name of Jesus. You have to use the name of Jesus in faith. Nothing else will please God and release his blessing other than faith. Unbelief begs, cries, and pleads. Faith speaks and shouts the victory. So if you're begging, crying, and pleading, I can guarantee you that you're not in faith. But faith speaks. Woman with the issue of blood, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She didn't say, I hope this thing works. She didn't say, I'm going to give this a try. No. She said, if I touch his clothes, I shall. She made it up in her mind that Jesus was her answer no matter what, and she did, and he did, and it was done. Your authority to use the name of Jesus increases through study, meditation, and application of the truth. You want to increase your authority? Increase your study, your meditation, and your application. What's application? Doing it. Don't just be a Christian that just talks about do it. Physician, heal thyself. All right, one last one. You have a right, or you are authorized to use the name of Jesus. You've been chosen. You're a royal priest. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar person. That doesn't mean you're weird. It means you're owned by God. He bought and paid for your body with his blood. And you have the ability. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I, speaking of the real him, keep my body under. You know, if your body has more control over your life than your spirit, when you go to use the name of Jesus, it's not going to work as well. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. He didn't say that they're flesh and carnal. He said to be fleshly minded or to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if your body controls your life more than your spirit controls your life, it's going to be hard using the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm getting on some toes now, aren't I? Say, Pastor, it's 8 o'clock. It's time to quit. No. I got to get this in. Paul said, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach, I will not be a castaway. There are times when we have to take authority over our bodies. Okay? So, when you leave here tonight, I want you to see yourself as a deputy, locked and loaded. And when you come across the devil, you got the spurs going, ching, ching, ching. And you look that devil in the eye, you say, go ahead, make my day. In the name of Jesus! Just the mention of his name will send a trembling fear in an evil spirit. They will not hang around. Their torment will cease. So you can leave here. You take authority in the name of Jesus. Take authority over your finances. Take authority over your fear. Cast your doubt and your worry. Cast it unto the Lord because he cares for you. Quit worrying about it. Does worry change it? No, it's a useless, vain activity. You know, when I quit worrying about the building being paid off, guess what? It got paid off. My only thing is I'm going to believe God quicker. Why'd I let it take 8 years? That's like Pharaoh saying, okay, I'll have the frogs one more night. I'm telling you, there is vast power and authority in the name of Jesus. And as a believer, the name of Jesus brings things into being. Things that call those things that be not as they are. They're not, but you call them like they should be called. Abraham called himself a father of many nations before he ever had a son. And once he called himself the father of many nations long enough, he finally believed it. When he believed it, out popped Isaac. But we have been given the privilege as a believer in Christ to use the name of Jesus. Let's use the name of Jesus. Let's use the name of Jesus over our families. Use the name of Jesus over your body. Yeah, you might be feeling a pain, but say, pain, you go in Jesus' name. The Bible says he bore our pains. He took away our infirmities. And by his stripes, we are healed. Quit talking how sick you are. Let me hear how healed you are. I don't care if you don't feel like it. You do it. You say it because God said it. We got to increase us using the name of Jesus in the right way. All right? Use the name of Jesus. I mean, Long story short, I went to pick up a minister in New York City. We got past the last gate on the turnpike, on the New Jersey Turnpike. Stopped because there were some cars in front of me. When it was my turn to go, I hit the gas, didn't move. Put it in reverse, didn't move. Put it in drive, didn't move. I was stuck. I had to push the car through the gate, and they still charged me. Got it off to the side of the road. There was a big puddle of fluid underneath the car. Didn't have a tool. Didn't have a mechanic in the car. All we could do, we called the rest area, and all they did was bring us some transmission fluid. That was it. And we used the name of Jesus. Poured the transmission fluid in. Started it up, put it in drive, took off. Drove that car all the way back to Pennsylvania. Drove that car several days out. Not one problem, not one leak, nothing. Because the name of Jesus touched that car. I'm telling you, we limit ourselves. Let's take the limits off. Are you ready to take the limits off? Amen? Take authority over your lost loved ones. Say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you to stop and desist in their maneuvers against them and release the love of God on them, and they're going to come in soon. They can't resist anymore. We got to start using the name of Jesus. Amen? I better stop. So whatever you ask in his name, that's what he'll do. He'll never do anything apart from his name. And so we got a beautiful privilege. Amen? And I'm going to dismiss you, but if there's anybody you need prayer for anything, I just want to make ourselves available that we can pray for you. But if you need to go, you can go. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you. Amen? We got to pray for these up here. I want to have my lovely wife, Pastor Fiona, come.